It's been quite the week, hasn't it? If you follow the world news, we need this message here today. We're week two, looking at what it means to live like Jesus, and that's our mission, right? To connect and equip people to live every day, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but you flip on the TV, you open the newspaper, you log on to whatever your favorite news site is, and you see a lot of things that don't necessarily look like Jesus. From mass shootings to churches being destroyed to just mass casualties everywhere. It just seems like there's suffering everywhere. Does anybody else just feel that heaviness? And then learning loved ones who are diagnosed with cancer and other diseases. And you might be in that group too, wrestling through some health issues and trying to figure out what's next. The heaviness there. We call that heaviness suffering. Suffering, and indeed Jesus suffered. And so the question we want to look at today is, how do we suffer well like Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. We ask that it would not return to you empty, but rather it would fill us, renew us, lead us to think and act more like you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Judy Viorst, does that name sound familiar? Early childhood lovers. She wrote this book. Let's read the title together. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. If you're familiar with the book, you know that Alexander, he's the main character of the story, and he wakes up with gum in his hair. It just starts off to be a horrible, horrible day. He goes and eats breakfast. He opens the cereal box like every excited 7-year-old kid would love to find a prize. His siblings all find prizes, but does he? No, nothing for him. And it just gets worse as he goes off to school. His friend demotes him from his best friend to his third best friend. I mean, the world is over. And then there's lima beans for dinner. You guys have no idea what I'm talking about, do you? Lima beans for dinner. I mean, this is like a child's worst nightmare. And then he gets home. He turns on the TV, looking forward to his favorite show. You know what he sees? He sees kissing on TV. Ew. See, Alexander, he's having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. And it gets so bad that he wants to move to Australia. And if you know where Australia is, it's in the southern hemisphere. And so he thinks that because it's on the southern part of the globe, everything in Australia can be turned upside down. So maybe his terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day could become actually a wonderful, terrific, really good day. Oh, if that was true. I mean, let's be honest. Deep inside of us, there's a part of us who wishes it was. Let me ask, if you had one of those terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days, maybe you found us online, maybe you are having one of those terrible, no good, very bad days, and you're sitting at home and it's just miserable. It's just miserable. Or maybe it's been that kind of week, or year, or season. You know, the challenges that sometimes we lift up that make our terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days, they might seem trivial, but let's put it in perspective as well here. Because some of us, we are in an immense time of suffering for one reason or another. So if you have your outlines, go ahead and take them out. We want to just walk through and see what the scriptures say today about suffering. The first thing we learn is that there's three kinds of suffering. The first one is this. You can write it down. It's common suffering. All right, this is the suffering that happens because we're human. Our bodies break down. We get sick. We live in a fallen, sin-filled world, and our bodies, they wear out. We get older. Accidents happen. Tragedies will happen. It's a part of the human condition. That's common suffering. But then there's also carnal suffering, all right? This is the type of suffering that we bring on to ourselves. So if you go and we have maybe a drink or two more than what we should, and we wake up and we have this headache, I mean, that's carnal suffering right there. Or if we spend money on needless things and overspend our budget, we spend more money than what we take in, and then we can't buy food, we can't buy the things that we need to provide for our families, and that's carnal suffering. It's suffering that we bring on to ourselves. And then there's this third type of suffering. third type of suffering. We call it Christian suffering. All right? Christian suffering. It's a suffering that happens because of righteousness' sake. It's a suffering for doing good. It's for living like a child of God, for doing what is right in God's eyes. 1 Peter 3 reminds us of this. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And we see this theme throughout Scripture. And of course, Jesus suffered. I said that before. Jesus suffered, right? His entire life seemed to be one life of suffering because he didn't come as a conquering king. He came as a servant king, a humble servant. And when Jesus appears on the scene, I mean the suffering just begins. People are suspicious of him. They rail him up on contempt. They accuse him of being a drunkard. They accuse him of being a friend of sinners. And even in his own town, they wanted to drive him out. They wanted to throw him literally off the cliff. Indeed, Jesus suffered. And it could be rightly said that Jesus suffered more than any other one person in history. Check it out. Isaiah 53 says this. Let's read it together. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. And we esteemed him not. So people, that's what that's saying. People didn't even want to be associated with him because he was that guy that always seemed to be suffering. And you know, if you're around somebody who's always suffering, it's kind of like you keep your arm's length away. And yet Jesus says that he's familiar with it. He knows it intimately. You see, when Jesus was arrested, it was like a religious lynching. False witnesses accused him, looking up any evidence to put him to death. And of course, the culmination of Jesus' suffering on the cross, right? On the cross. In front of the entire world where God made him to be sin who knew no sin for us. So the question is, why did Jesus suffer? Why did Jesus suffer? We'll get to that here in just a second. But the reason that we can say that no one has ever suffered to the degree that Jesus suffered here on earth is this. He was perfect. He was perfect. He knew no sin. He suffered as a result of our sin. He suffered for righteousness' sake. Later on in Isaiah chapter 53, it says this. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and then to cause him to suffer. So he was caused to suffer on our behalf. And though the Lord makes his life, through the Lord rather, makes his life a guilt offering. If anything, Jesus' suffering, his life, his death, reflects the need for our Savior, the need for His sacrifice. It also reveals how much the Father loves you and me. And so we can celebrate today. We can celebrate during this Lenten season because of the fact that Jesus went to the cross. He suffered for our sins so we can find forgiveness, so we can be accepted, so that we can have grace in our Father's eyes. Because the sacrifice has been given, the price indeed has been paid. I want to spend some time here in 1 Peter. It's going to be up here on the screen. This is in the context of submission to masters, all right? There's always an authority. That's another message series altogether, authority. But this is what 1 Peter talks about in the context of submission, really to a boss at work, but we're going to look at this through the eyes of suffering. So this is how it begins. For this is a gracious thing when mindful of God, one what? Endures sorrows, endures suffering, takes it on, all right, while suffering unjustly. So sometimes it just happens, right? The Muslims in the mosque in New Zealand, it just happened. I mean, they didn't bring it on themselves. I mean, they were gathered to do their thing, and we all know the events that happened. Or the Christians in Nigeria, right? The Christians in Nigeria, where the church came down. They were gathered for worship, and it just happened. They're enduring sorrows, suffering unjustly. And then we read on. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This here is what type of thing? It's a gracious thing. It's a God thing in the sight of God. Now check out this verse. This will kind of maybe make you a little uncomfortable. For this you have been what? Called. Huh. You have been called to suffer. suffer. Anybody else uncomfortable with that? Like, it's like, when I became a Christian, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't want this. I thought it was going to be unicorns and rainbows and lucky charms. No, I did not sign up for suffering, Jesus. And yet, right here, Peter is right there in front of you. For this, you have been called. Why? Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that what? You might follow in his steps. That's fascinating. That's fascinating. Leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. Who remembers how to write? Nobody remembers how to write. All right. We'll pray for it. Remember how you learned cursive? If you are 18 years or younger, you probably didn't learn cursive. Nope, I see some kids like, nope. I remember learning cursive, right? We had these big handwriting sheets. Remember this? Two solid lines with the dotted line in the middle. And the first line, it had all the letters on there, right? A, B, you remember this? And then the second line, I don't know if you remember this, it had like the dotted line outline of every letter. And then the last line, it was like super intimidating because it was just the blank line. And you remember how you learned to write, huh? You would trace the first line. You would connect the lines on the second line. And then what would you do on the third line? Do it yourself, right? It's interesting. This language that Peter is using is that exact model. The example that you have, this line that's already drawn for you, you begin tracing and then a little bit more so that you might follow in his steps, specifically in regards to your suffering. In other words, Jesus is the example. He is the letter on the line that we trace so that we might follow in his steps when the line is blank, when life is playing out and we don't know what's next. We might follow in his steps. So as we go through times of suffering, not necessarily carnal suffering, what we discover is that if we follow in his steps, what happens? We become more like Jesus, don't we? We heard that in our reading earlier, that we become imitators of Jesus. Philippians 3 says this, I want to know Christ, Paul says, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Paul wants to know that. And then what? Becoming like him in his death. The ultimate suffering. Becoming like Jesus in his death. Question. Can that be said of you? I mean, think about it. Do you want to know Christ in his suffering? Be careful how you answer that. Because it's difficult to comprehend that this is what it means to follow Jesus. This is what it means to live to be the hands and feet of Jesus, that we experience suffering. That our heart breaks for what breaks God's. That our gut turns with compassion for what spills out in our world of what grieves the Lord. I mean, God did not design the world to be filled with cancer and heartache. He designed the world to be a garden with perfect communion, perfect relationship with him. And it grieves him. In a way, Jesus suffers for every little heartbreak, every little broken piece of life that we experience. And yet, in the middle of that brokenness, in the middle of the heartache, in the middle of a world that seems to be literally going to hell, there's benefits, right? Let's take a look at those. In your Bibles, we're going to go to Romans 5. Open it up. Romans chapter 5, page 942. Because believe it or not, there are some pretty incredible benefits of suffering. So we're just going to mention a handful of them here in our message time today. So Romans chapter 5, page 942. The first one we see, you can jot down in your outline, it's growth. We see growth through suffering. I'm going to begin in verse 3 here, chapter 5, verse 3. Paul says, not only that, but we rejoice in our what? Let's say it again. Now, nice and loud, like you mean it. right. Yeah, we rejoice in our sufferings. Huh. Knowing that that suffering produces what? Endurance. That word endurance, it's another word for perseverance. We push through. We follow through. We just don't become a limp noodle and say, you know what, it's too overwhelming, it's too much, I'm just going to disconnect. God, you can deal with it. I'm just going to just, no. That's not living to be the hands and feet of Jesus at all. That's not living like Jesus at all. Because he says this suffering, it produces perseverance, which is endurance. And then verse 4, this endurance, when we persevere, produces what? Character. Character. It's the quality of the person being tested. It's the resolve of people like you and me when we walk through the trials, when we walk through the temptations, when we walk through suffering, when we experience the heartbreak of Jesus. It's this character building experience. And yeah, we talk about character education if you have kids, right? But this is what it means here. In the Bible, when we see character, it's really spiritual maturity. It matures us. Think about it. Every step in your life, every experience in your life that you look back and point to, that was a defining moment. That was the definitive experience. That was a time when I really had to grow up. It was a matter of character, was it not? Stretching who you were. Stretching the boundaries of your faith. Stretching the boundaries of your strengths. Trying something new and your resolve increased. Your guts multiplied where now you are stronger. You were braver. We call that maturity. Because in faith it works the same way. When you're stretched in your faith, next time that type of suffering happens, or any type of suffering happens, you are bolder to stand up and say, the Lord is my Savior. You are stronger to say, I'm going to stick with the Lord. You are more firm in your faith when it comes to the questions that fly at you. Indeed, perseverance produces character. And then look what that leads to. And character produces what? Hope. And hope does not put us to shame. In other words, hope does not let us down, does not disappoint us. Because the hope that we have is more than wishful thinking. It's looking toward Jesus. And knowing that Jesus himself is indeed the one that we love with all our hearts. The Jesus we know knows that there is a better day ahead, whether it's tomorrow or the next day or the final day. We know that the hope that we have is not a fading hope that whiffles in the wind, that changes from situation to situation, but it's the hope that gives us the energy and the joy to say, the Lord is my strength and my song. Of whom shall I be afraid? Certainly, God's desire is that we mature and grow up in our faith, to trust in Him. James reminds us of this. He says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. There it is again. And perseverance must finish its work so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. In other words, for you to imitate Jesus, for you to be like Jesus, to live to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to mature and to be complete with Jesus, it's through the suffering, it's through the testing of our faith that develops that. You see, Jesus was made complete through suffering. Hebrews 2 says this, in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, should make him the author of their salvation perfect through what? Suffering. Here's the second one. There's glory. It's a reoccurring theme in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 3 says it like this. And we who with unveiled faces, so revealed faces, everybody knows who we are, all reflect whose glory? The Lord's glory. And in doing that, in being that, we are what? Transformed into His likeness with an ever-increasing glory. In other words, we are constantly being shaped and changed. Which comes from who? The Lord. It all comes from God. Who is the Spirit. Who is the force, who is the energy and the joy that is placed in us. Romans chapter 8 says this, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. We're part of the family. And if indeed we share His sufferings, in order that we may share also in His glory." Have you ever noticed when a disease like cancer hits a family, how a family binds together? Like when families come on tough times, they come together. When a school community experiences a tragedy, they come together. When a community like ours experiences a dark time, they come together. Could it be that is a picture of God Himself? That the children, the people who are heirs of God and co-heirs, brothers and sisters with Jesus, that when one person suffers, we all suffer. We come together. Why? So that we might not just share in the suffering, but share in the glory, the hope of Jesus. One more. It's one more benefit we're going to mention today. And it's greater impact for Christ. Right? Greater impact for Christ. It's the fact that suffering allows us to actually do something with it. 2 Corinthians says this, "For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." Here at St. Mark's, it's incredible. I know many of you have gone through grief, through loss, through heartbreak, through situations with children. And this is what I see. I don't know if you see this in you. Kitty could probably attest to this. When you experience suffering, God uses that to make an incredible impact in somebody else's life. Your empathy increases because you know what it feels like in the dark night of the soul. Your sympathy and understanding increases because you know what it feels like to be on the brink of tears because you are so afraid that you're paralyzed. This is what Paul is getting at here, that just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into your lives, so also through Jesus, through His suffering, through your suffering, through my suffering, our comfort, our ability to be the hands and feet of Jesus overflows. Here's my prayer for us, that we would not forget that this is true. That our sufferings do come. They stink. No, they suck. Bad. I mean, when I watched the news this week, my heart broke. How humanity, how human life could just be disrespected. And there's a lot of ways that happens, all right? It's across the board. But may that anger, may that heartbreak, may that piece of you that is suffering not end with anger or bitterness or just terminate on yourself, but may it overflow into the lives of others, not through anger and bitterness, but through comfort and joy. It's the same comfort and joy that gives us hope on those terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days, that leads us to the gracious love of the Father, the shepherd of our souls. So here's our Lenten journey as it continues. May we reflect on the Savior, a wounded healer who understands our suffering, who's not a wimpy, whimpering Savior, but rather He is a companion of us all. Because on the cross, He was fully locked into our human condition, forsaken by the Father for our sin. Indeed, Jesus is no pain, the suffering. Not so that we can just suffer and live with it, but so that we might have joy and share in those sufferings and come out on the other side to think and act like Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we hear these words, receive them, digest them, make them part of us. And may we, who are convicted by them, may we respond through the power of your Spirit to allow the sufferings that we have shared be seen as the sufferings that you also share, and may they overflow in us, not in anger and bitterness, but in joy and triumph as we comfort others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.